All right, there we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show. I am Jeff Gamet, sitting in once again for Ewan Rankin. And we're at the point now where I think that this might be community service for me, or it might be Ewan's way to hit certain quotas for minority employment. And since I am the only person here from the United States, I believe that makes me the minority. So well played, Ewan.
That's true.
Yeah, actually, Ewan is very busy. And by very busy, I mean lounging on his yacht, drinking Mai Tais. And he'll be out for a couple more weeks. But he will be back. We promise that once we pay the ransom, that once he's not busy anymore, we'll be able to get him back on the show. So yeah, just a couple weeks. All right.
I'm still wondering how a yacht is going to fit on those little channels in Birmingham, but yeah, maybe he'll have to show it.
From what I understand, Ewan was doing some practice driving in the Suez Canal, and that seemed to have worked out okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's a big yacht.
A man of his color, but needs a big yacht.
I mean, he's tall, so yeah, he needs a big yacht.
Right, he does. All right, did my video freeze?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
The best face ever.
Again, yes. As always.
You know, it could have been far worse. All right, let me see if I can get my camera to start working again.
He's back.
I'm back. All right, now if we can get it to freeze like this, then we'll have my new avatar.
I hope someone grabbed the screenshot.
Hopefully.
If not, I have the recording, so
that's true. I mean I'm assuming that's the shot Ewan wants to use for the graphic for this week's show.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Yeah, as it should be, you know, me at my best. So, hey, amazing panel here today, as always. And I know that every week is an amazing panel, and I don't have to say that, but I do have to say that because I love all of you, and you're absolutely amazing. So I just need to call it out every single week. So let's just go around my screen and do some introductions. Rich, how are you today?
I'm really well, thanks, Jeff. It's good to be back.
It's awesome to be back. You know, this is starting to feel like the normal routine now, almost like Ewan is our occasional guest host.
It is. It's weird when he's back, isn't it now?
It is. I mean, that's when we have all the other fancy bells and whistles, you know, like picture stuff and showing web pages and
technical difficulties.
And technical
difficulties. That's why it takes us another half an hour to get started, isn't it? That's why.
Yeah. Right.
That too.
Yeah. I'm actually concerned at this point that all of our listeners and viewers that tune in live are going to be really confused when we're not starting by 10 after the hour.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's it.
But they tune in too late because like usually it starts half an hour late. So
that's true. So actually what I'm doing is providing a special bonus for all of the people that tune into the live stream because they get what now amounts to a pre-show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing relatively well, I have to say. Woke up this morning a little bit confused because at first I thought it was Saturday. That took like a couple seconds. Then I thought it was Friday and I had overslept. Then I realized it was Thursday, actually, which was good. And then I looked at the clock and it was like 6:20 a.m. So I didn't even oversleep. I was up early. So that was a fun start, but it was a good day. So
yeah, time is just a mess anymore.
It is. It is.
It's the working from home effect, isn't it?
If it's any consolation, I woke up at 10 after 9 mountain time this morning, which was like luxury anyhow, because that was really sleeping in. But then, I shot out of bed because I thought it was Friday. And if it was 10 after 9, that means the Mac show was supposed to start 10 minutes ago.
I mean, if 10 after 9 is sleeping in for you, then we have very different definitions of sleeping in.
Well, I would like sleeping in to be much later, but I have come to accept that that between the sunlight, the cat, and just life in general, that 9 a.m. has to qualify as sleeping in.
Okay. For me, sleeping in is like 1 p.m. maybe, or like noon at least.
Yeah, absolutely glorious. Yeah,
I would love that.
Cat would not approve, but yeah,
I'll get up because the cat's waking.
And the cat back to sleep.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Give her tranquilizers.
Well, you know, you can also speak here on the show. You don't have to put it in the chat room.
Oh, yeah, but I was taking the mickey.
You can do that here too.
I can do that there too.
And
I get woken up by the cats wanting their dinner or their breakfast. 7 o'clock this morning.
Now, you see, this is why you need an automatic feeder.
Oh, no, that wet food does dry.
Or a dog. Cat that knows what's bad, what's good for them.
Yes, that helps too. Yes.
You can't train a cat. You should know that.
Oh, you can. Sure.
No, you can't. We got three of them, and we got a tomcat, and he's big, and he's about, honestly, he's at least that size, and he weighs about, well, put it like this. I go, oh, when I pick him up. That one back there is little, and the other one's little, but I usually have the tomcat at the bottom of the bed. The other cat's always sleeps on me. Or sleeps next to me, and the other cat outside the door because you're scared of that cat. And the tomcat comes up and goes, "It's time for food, otherwise you die. I'm gonna either eat your face or you feed me."
So you know, it seems to me the cat is trained very well, and you just don't realize that. And in fact, the cat has learned through its training that it can actually train you. And so you will get up and feed it when it demands.
I think we've gone to GMT and it's still on winter time. So it's 8 o'clock normally, but his internal clock's all messed up.
So I feel like we're having a Mrs. Slocum moment with you, and you're telling us about your big untrainable. Anyhow, Ian, how are you doing?
I'm great, sir. I'm very well, thank you. The usual week, I've been a busy man. I ought to get a red hat and a nice big red car with a ladder on the roof. You know, it's another week of dumpster fires, but easing down for the weekend now, I think. We're getting to the end of all these various things that people have had problems with that I'm managing to sort of sort out and things. So that's a good thing. Weekend starts soon tomorrow, and that's good. And weekend to my birthday. I'll be a bit more older.
Well, preemptive happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Yeah,
happy birthday.
Yeah. I hope your day will be filled with smiles, fun surprises, and cake.
I'm pretty sure some of those things will happen. Yeah.
Excellent.
49, getting old. My last birthday in my 40s.
So yeah, what do you give Bigfoot for his birthday?
I don't know what you got.
Cooked cow. a whole large steak. I'm easy, I am.
There you
I thought they were vegetarian.
This Bigfoot's not.
Oh, of course, you go to that steakhouse that you take you into, don't you? The Riders, or whatever it's called.
Rider Arms, yeah, that's brilliant.
Rider Arms, that's the one.
At some point, we'll have to go again.
Oh,
and been for a while, it's fantastic. You would you'll enjoy it. It's really, really good.
There was one by me that used to do 56-ounce steaks.
Yeah, they do all of that.
I don't think I could eat 56-ounce of steak anymore.
I don't think I could try to.
Not in one sitting.
I think that would kill
me. I used to go at that. I would love a go at that. A 56-ounce steak. Yeah, I'll have a go.
Do you not know about
Rise of the Monster? But I'll definitely have a go.
Do you not know about the Rise of the Monster?
I don't.
It's
was Rining a monster?
Rither Arms. Oh. 78-ounce steak.
I heard something about Rinding monsters.
That's what I heard too.
Ever since I saw Jan Candy do it in the Great Outdoors, and I want to do this now, so I'm going to have to go.
It's nearby. It's Sherburn way kind of thing, right? The village called Rither.
Right, I'm going. I'm gonna. Right, okay.
That John
There's
Candy
a post-lockdown
scene.
Challenge.
Yeah, that John Candy scene. Yeah. Great Outdoors is wonderful.
There you go. And, to the chat.
You know,
that's where to go.
I just love and cringe when he gets to the end of the steak and he's all proud of himself. And then the manager says, and the gristle.
Yeah.
The fatty bit's always the nicest bit, though, isn't it?
Well, speaking of the man with a big piece of meat, Muller, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've got my watch dancing International Dancing Day badge, so I'm happy.
Awesome, and I'm not sure, but we may have just done the longest intro of a show.
I think so.
Yeah, we've done techie bait.
That 15 minute intro.
Yeah, well, you know. We're entertaining and interesting people. And when I say we, I mean you. So there we go.
You're interesting too.
Well, I do what I can. All right. Who has the first story?
So I have so many stories today. I don't know what to pick. I almost picked the one that I'm just posting. A beaver in Canada that took the internet down. Maybe that's why.
That's the absence of irony then, isn't it? Yes, why Amy's not here?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, beavers ate my internet.
So Atlee broke the internet in Canada.
Yeah, that's. Do you think he's a beaver?
Well, maybe it's his code name.
Oh, okay, that could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, but that's not my real story. I'll let Ian go first. I have another one.
Cool. Mine's again another nice gentle one in some ways. It's just interesting. This one was. We've all heard of Hans Zimmer, composer of many film soundtracks. Mm-hmm. Oppo, the Chinese mobile phone company, approached him to write them some ringtones because they got fed up with the usual nonsense. So he wrote them a series of ringtones. On their latest X3 Pro device, you'll get a series of Hans Zimmer ringtones. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
It's almost another one of those things to buy this device.
it's another one of those nice. It's another one of those nice. The Find X3 Pro. There's some samples of them there. I mean, ultimately, it's a sort of a thing about when they're talking to Zimmer, it says, "Yeah, I hear colours. I want to hear I want the ringtone to open a door that says there's a possibility to feel something. It's better than da 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 kind of noises. So that's got to be a good thing, hasn't it?"
Your article has a recording.
It does.
That is actually a pretty good ringtone.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm just listening to it.
So anyone can actually have the Hans Zimmer ringtone. Just download the YouTube video and snatch the audio out.
Yeah, exactly. True. I may well do just that because that is quite nice, isn't it? I mean, it is quite nice, is that? It's lovely. I mean, it really is. It's just a nice. That was a nice story today. That's a nice story. Hans Zimmer is well known. Gladiator and stuff like that is what it's famous for, isn't it? Movie soundtracks galore, basically.
Oh, he's done so many.
He's done almost anything that you would know.
Mm.
Like all the like big movies and good movies that have good music, he's done most of them.
I mean, it's a nice thing to think of that he's not too up himself to say, someone says to me, "Will you write me some music for this?" Yeah, of course. Why not? It's music, you know. And that's a really nice thing. I like that.
I mean, to be fair, they probably paid for that too.
Oh God, so yes, they paid for it.
He's an artist. He was probably like, "Yeah, I'll take your money." Sure.
But it's a bit like, have you ever noticed people like Robert De Niro? Yeah. He's always one of these guys that I don't think he'll ever turn down work. He said, "Right, Bob, what we want you to do is to come on this show. All you're going to do is sit on the toilet all day, and you're going to talk. What's the motivation? Just to sit on the toilet. Okay. Pay your money? Yeah. Okay. I'll be there." And it seems to be any movie, because he's in some shocking rubbish occasionally. And I think he doesn't want to turn work down. Maybe Zimmer's the same. I don't know when this world will dry up, so I'll just keep on doing it. You know, and in some ways, that's great.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, as I said, I don't think he has to do it. I think he also enjoys the challenge of doing it. Like just at least my experience with like the interviews I've seen, he just likes the challenge.
You know, if you're scoring an entire movie and then you're asked to score a ringtone, which is just a few seconds long as opposed to 90 minutes of music. I bet that's actually a challenge.
But that's the cool thing about Hans Zimmer, his songs or his like soundtracks are very recognizable because there's like a little piece, like a 10-15 second piece in it that is so recognizable, and it's repeated and adapted all over the place. But it's that 10 seconds, like you can play, I don't know, Pirates of the Caribbean, play the first like 5 seconds of the intro music, everybody knows what it is. Don't need the entire thing. You need 5 seconds and you know what it is. And that's him. And I think that's why this works for him. He can do those 5 seconds, 10. I mean, the incoming message tone is like 3 seconds.
That on a Zimmer.
Yeah.
And Zimmer on a Zimmer.
Zimmer. Yeah, he's I think
German from Frankfurt.
Yeah, German / I think he has, I want to say, Scottish ancestry. Like he's moved kind
of as a teenager.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm just reading. I'm reading a profile thing.
Yeah,
from the from Classic FM's page. But yeah,
he's kind of. He's really good. As I said, he has been in. As I said, not every, but a lot of really like high level blockbusters. Last, I don't know how long, 30 years. Longer, probably
longer.
Rain Man was his Rain Man was his turn. According to this, the turning point for his career was Rain Man. He did the score for that.
Was he in Star Trek Voyager? Was he the Doctor?
No. That's Robert Picardo.
Black Hawk Down, Gladiator, The Last Samurai, Da Vinci Code, Simpsons the movie. Then the Batman series.
Unless you never watch movies, there's no way that you've not been exposed to Hans Zimmer.
Exactly. I'm a massive fan of his work. Like ever since I discovered him, which to be fair has been fairly recently, like the last couple of years. I mean, so much so that at our wedding we had Hans Zimmer music.
He did four stuff movies like in 2020.
There were some songs in between, like it wasn't all like that,
Four movies in 2020, that's like 50% of all movies released in 2020.
<It's true>.
Yes.
So he didn't do this ringtone because he needed the work.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, as I said, as an artist, I mean, he's talked about it. Like he talks about like what it is like for him to be an artist. And I mean, he came from basically like typical artist background, like nothing, no money. And worked his way up, and I think that never leaves you. So I think there is probably a certain level of, I mean, one, this is fun, and two, why not take the money?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so it's formal training, 2 weeks of piano lessons, self-taught. Anyone can do it if you have that mind and you can put it. Yeah, a whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, apparently
he plays any instrument nowadays. What I really like about him is that he has great friendships with a lot of musicians, like all across genres and anything. Like he's friends with a lot of people.
And he
it's not that he like uses them, he highlights them. Like he collaborates with them, but it's in a way that he makes sure that they get credit for it. And that they get to do something that's fun and that they get credit and money for it.
That's very cool.
It's not about him. It's about the others. Like there was this concert tour that he did a couple of years ago. I'm trying to remember what it was called. Anyway, blanking on the name.
Something like that.
I mean, there's a recording from Prague, I think he did. And it was a massive orchestra that he had there. And it was all his friends. Like he was friends with like almost, I mean, I think there was like there was a choir from Prague that he probably didn't know too well. But other than that, and there were big names from like Incubus and from like big bands. Like that just came and worked with him. And that was really, it's, I mean, you can buy it on iTunes. You can probably watch it somewhere on YouTube. I think it's Hans Zimmer Live or something like that. Highly recommended. It's like 2 hours well spent.
Okay, I'm for that.
Very cool.
In a thing for the British amongst us here, that music, I don't know how well the Buggles transferred to the US, but it was a song called Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was part of that. He worked with the Buggles on the New Wave band, and with Video Killed the Radio Star, he was part of the
That was the first video played on MTV, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yes, it was.
So, yes, yeah, he's been everywhere.
Then Buggles joined Yes, didn't he? The prog rock band, and ruined it. I remember when I went to see them in Birmingham when he was when he became the lead singer when John Anderson left. It was absolutely crap, really, because you know John Anderson's vocals are very unique, I would say. If you're aware of his music, anyway.
Yes.
This is a
Hans Zimmer's got some concerts coming up if COVID finishes. I'll put the link in.
Cool.
London, Amsterdam, Dublin, and someone else.
Oh, and Patrice, I see you dropped the Hans Zimmer Live page into the chat.
There are actually shows coming up in 2022. So all across the world. I'm not someone who likes to go to concerts. I would go there. It's probably the one act I would go to.
That would be pretty cool.
Very disappointed it's not called Zimmerpalooza.
Oh, you should send him an email and recommend it. Maybe he's going to.
I will. Is he on Twitter?
He is on Twitter.
Get in touch right away. That's awesome. Might even make his phone ping in his pocket right now.
Oh God, that'd be interesting.
Manchester, London. Stands a chance then.
Yeah. Not coming to the live performances.
You've heard this stuff. That's a cool thing. You'll recognize the movies.
Yeah, there are certain artists that we've all heard in movies, even if we didn't realize who it was. I mean, it's Hans Zimmer, Jerry Goldsmith, Danny Elfman now, and of course John Williams.
Williams, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hans Zimmer at the Rider Arms. Have your steak with him. With the famous artist. Wolf that.
I also put the link in for the if you want to buy the Hans Zimmer Life in Prague.
Awesome.
Oh,
you know, I'm feeling like this was so cool. We could just end the show right now.
Should have been my cool thing.
Well, you know, we have to build up to the cool thing. So who has the next story?
I think that was me.
Oh, yeah. I need to scroll back up to find yours. Yours was the Verge story, right?
Yep. So there were so many stories to pick from this week. As I said, not the Canada internet one. I went with the British story because I think that one was interesting. So because I haven't heard anywhere about this. Like this is the only mention whatsoever. And I think this is a pretty big deal. there was a bad software that was being used by the British Postal Service. And it reported like that people like postmasters were stealing money. And they went for went to jail in some cases. Like some in some cases they just didn't know. In or something like that. In some cases they went to jail. And they were completely innocent because the software was just crap. Like it was like, I mean, there were some cases apparently where it like repeatedly happened. Like one postmaster would get fired or go to jail or whatever, and the next one would come in and the same thing would happen again. And it wasn't like £5 or whatever. It was like big sums of money. And yeah, came out. It was used, as it mentions here, it was used to prosecute 736 post office employees between 2000 and 2014, some of whom ended up in jail.
And some took their own lives as well.
Yeah, and it was a known issue. The legal department of the post office apparently said it shouldn't be used to like prosecute people, and they still did it. So this is crazy.
Yeah, miscarriage of justice. Yeah, 51 cases, six people have their convictions overturned.
Yeah.
39 were about, geez.
And there was no apology or anything.
Yeah, well, that's...
Nothing. Thank you.
I imagine there'll be another court case to come out of this then from those people.
Oh, for sure.
Mm. I think yeah, there will be more than going. One.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's one already pending. In 2019, the post office settled with 555 claimants and paid damages. So there's that. But I don't think this is over.
Oh, there's no way this is over. I mean, this is, well, as Ian said, I mean, this is a travesty or miscarriage of justice. I mean, what happened to me is criminal. And as opposed to the people that were charged with crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it took 20 years to do, almost 20 years to do something about it.
And this is even with the post office knowing that they shouldn't use this software
mm-hmm.
for, well, they shouldn't have used it at all, but certainly not to have people arrested and tried and charged, convicted of stealing.
Yeah, because they were sending them embezzling the post office for whatever amount of money it was for.
Yeah. I said,
but they weren't.
yeah, terrible. It's crazy.
But it's not unknown in these kind of systems to embezzle for that sort of stuff. But it is a good thing that this now. I mean, there is going to be a lot of suing going on for the post office. I think mm-hmm. they're not going to be short of a lawsuit. So in the coming years, of people trying to get some recompense. I mean, the BBC mm-hmm. article's got a picture of a lady here who was Sima Misra, who was pregnant, which was sent to prison in 2010. I mean, really, that's completely wrong.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's got political ramifications because Keir Starmer was the head of the CPS at the time.
Now so, kind of our opposition party.
Yeah, he's the leader of the opposition, the Labour Party at the moment, and he was the leader of the CPS. So,
that's quite a hot potato then.
It's going to come back and bite him, I think.
Yeah, he's going to want to make that go away, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's attacking Boris for his misdeeds at the moment. So it's going to come back and bite him big time, I think. So he's definitely going to catch some flack when people realise he was probably in charge of the CPS. He was in charge of the CPS at the time. A lot of these prosecutions were taking place.
Yeah, but Boris took money to decorate his own flat. It's not quite the same as being head of the CPS when someone else did something. It's a bit,
but the thing is,
a bit removed.
But he was in charge of the prosecutions at the time, so he could have easily come down and said, oh, hold on a minute. It's not the same, no. It's definitely not the same. But it's got ramifications. And that comes from somebody who's a member of the Labour Party who's going like, what the hell are you doing, mate? I mean, he's got a couple of stains on his on his leadership of the CPS that I know of. And they're not been brought up yet.
We all know that that doesn't mean much.
that's pretty standard, here,
but yeah,
across all governments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As said, I just think it's crazy that it went on for so long. I mean, there were so many cases, and nobody noticed and nobody checked. I mean, if the software was the culprit, then shouldn't there have been like some kind of investigation to like see whether the software whether it's even true? They just all like everybody just relied on the software and said, oh, the software must be right, and just convicted.
Or even just an audit, surely an audit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, at some point, the accountants would have gone through and, yeah, this is not quite right. Doesn't add up. I mean, the software says that, but it doesn't tally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have thought.
The thing is that there's so many people were prosecuted or supposedly guilty that should have raised flags there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always
bad pennies,
but...
if you have multiple people in the same position, in the same location, one in succession, that are being charged with stealing. I mean, at some point, you have to realize this isn't just the people that you're hiring. There's some other pattern here, and you need to look and figure out what that pattern is. And in this case, it would be very obvious because their own legal department said, "Yeah, you can't use this software for charging someone with a crime."
Yeah, but I mean, there's a sentence in here. According to the BBC, one of the representatives for the post office workers said that the post office readily accepted the loss of life, liberty, and sanity of many ordinary people in its pursuit pursuit of reputation and profit. This is not an accident.
No,
someone just ignored it.
See, this just keeps getting worse as we talk about it.
Yeah, I mean it also awful. Shows you what power software has. People trust software.
That's true.
It's in the computer, yeah. It must be right.
Yeah, exactly.
The computer says.
Oh, yeah. Computer says no.
Computer says no. Even I know that one.
Yeah.
That was a fun thing. When I joined CGM office in the US, they didn't know. So this became a catchphrase in our office because I started it. I was like, computer says no.
That is awesome.
They did not know about it. Yeah, it's said, I mean, we all know it. I know it, especially working in software. Like, I mean, software is written by human beings. It's usually wrong. Hopefully it's okay most of the time, but it's never perfect.
As I was telling someone this week, if they put rubbish in, you get rubbish out. You can't change that. Or the point at which a customer had a failure, and there's backups that happened subsequently. And so there was data there. So, well, I've got a backup for that day, but if it was broken when I backed it up, it's still broken when I restore it.
Yep.
You know, rubbish in, rubbish out. I can't actually make it any better. You know, we have to go back to the day before it was broken, and then I can get it. Oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. You know, but that mm-hmm. sort of cognitive leap of, oh, but we got a backup of it. Yeah, but you got backup of the broken thing. Yeah. You know, and it's that cognitive leap to explain it, you know, and that's the thing. It's what programmers have known since they first started programming things. Rubbish in, rubbish out.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it probably predates programming. It's like, yeah. I mean, it's like baking. Rubbish in, rubbish out. Like,
if you get your mixture wrong, you're done, aren't you?
Yeah. It's a phrase here in the United States, you can't polish or variation on it. You can put frosting on a turd, but it's still a turd.
Yeah. Roll it in glitter as well.
Yep. That's a good idea.
Input smart.
It just reminded me of an episode of Mythbusters that I tried that.
Oh, yeah, where they tried to polish a turd.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
There was a comment on Twitter that made me laugh. It said there was more legal examination. This is not going to mean anything to Patrice and Jeff, but maybe the two English people on the there was more legal ramifications from making a cake caterpillar than there was of these post office people.
That's true. That's
yeah.
Wait, I want to make sure I heard you right. Did you say a gay caterpillar cake?
There's a party cake made by several companies, famous
different
companies.
Supermarkets.
Marks and Spencer's make a caterpillar cake, and I can't remember their name. But
Colin, is that the Colin? That's Colin.
Colin, is it? Mm. So lots of supermarkets do these caterpillar cakes, and they're all slightly different than that. A German supermarket that is a discounter in the UK, and I think in America as well, called Aldi, did their version, mm-hmm. and Marks and Spencer's took them to court. And I looked at it, and I thought, well, it's a caterpillar cake, but so does Sainsbury's, so does Tesco, so does all the other supermarkets. So why have they taken Aldi to court? Do you know why they took them to court? Because it cost a quarter of the amount.
Oh, then it would cost the others. Aldi.
Yeah, you don't want to take Tesco to court. They'll just keep you there forever. They've got all the money in the world.
Yeah, that's the plucky Brits against the dastardly Hun as well, if we're really going for it.
True.
We can have that one as well if we want. You know, it's ridiculous, to be honest. I mean, I can't, they, as you say, they all sell a variation upon that. I really can't see.
Well, yeah, so there's been more furore in the papers about caterpillar cakes than it has about this post office job.
A caterpillar cake is just so popular that to not offer a caterpillar cake or to have one that is of a slightly different, if you had a worm cake, is that the end of your supermarket? I don't know.
You like, know, I'm feeling like I've really cake? Missed out.
Me too.
Mm.
I want them to sell that here.
The kids go through a caterpillar stage like they do with dinosaurs. Like they get to about 6 or 7, everything's caterpillars. I don't know.
Yep. Happened.
Yeah.
I find that's my daughter who was capturing caterpillars.
Right. Very nice.
Aldi just called Cuthbert, by the way.
That's it. Yeah.
Cuthbert. I mean, you'd think it'd be called Hans or something, but there you go.
Yeah, you need the alliteration, otherwise, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and there's this wonderful thing that I will chuck in the chat room, which after hearing about this, there's a UK artist called Jim will paint it. You tell him a mad scenario, Jim will paint it. Look at the Twitter link I've just chucked into the chat. He did Cuthbert the Caterpillar versus Colin in a Godzilla-y style.
That is spectacular.
And that's just wonderful. And that's brilliant.
If people want to find all of those links we're talking about, they should head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 29th of April, 2021. You will find that. I thought since we're talking about a lot of fun things, they should know where to go.
They should. So that's thank well done. You for taking care of that, Patrice. Wow. Okay. And now I know what Cuthbert the Caterpillar cake looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I've clearly led a sheltered life.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Cuthbert turns into a butterfly if you leave him long enough.
Yeah, I'm assuming that that's actually like a crepe or something instead of a cake.
Wait, it may be crepe, but it's all right.
It might just fly away.
All right, who has the next story?
Mine till last, as usual.
I just caught up in this Jim will paint it picture of Priti Patel punching a little girl in the face.
Jim is so
I post my story then.
Oh, she's yes. dropped a teddy bear and she's crying. Sorry, that's so right. I have got a new story. Hang on. Let's go with that one.
Oh, this Apollo is good and sad.
Yes, Apollo 11 astronaut Michael Collins died at the age of 90 this week. Who did an amazing job and never got to walk on the moon. He was, of course, the guy who got to stay inside while the other two went down on the in the lunar landing module, just orbiting the moon up there on his own for ages. I can't imagine what that must have been like.
That is the loneliest man in history.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so when the lunar module separated from the command module to land on the moon, from that point until it reconnected with the command module, Michael Collins had to live with the very real possibility that he was coming back to Earth alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't know if they'd successfully land. And once they landed, if the engine would ignite and lift off, and if they, even though they'd practiced so many times, if they would be able to successfully rendezvous with a command module so that they could get back in the command module to come home. So he had to be prepared for that whole time to either leave his dead comrades behind on the moon or leave his friends behind knowing that they were soon to be dead.
Yeah. Wasn't he also the person that like has, or at least I think even to this day, traveled the farthest away from Earth? Because he orbited around the moon, so he was farther away from Earth than like everybody who landed on the moon. I thought I read that somewhere.
Didn't they go around the moon? But
don't they orbit the moon before they land on it anyway?
They didn't sort of get there and just immediately
and then,
left. So.
Well, and then there's the other Apollo missions where you still had someone in the command module.
Yeah,
but if he was the farthest away, maybe they had a different flight path for him. Where,
or at least maybe until the other missions. I don't know. I just remember reading somewhere about that we haven't really gone all that far.
No, we really haven't gone that far.
Yeah,
and he also got to take some spectacular photographs.
That's true. I love the photo that he took where you can see the LEM just like center in the shot with the lunar surface below, and way in the distance you can see Earth. And
it's
an
amazing photo.
It's an amazing photo, and people love putting the caption with it. In this photo, every human that's alive is actually in the photo, except for Michael Collins.
God. Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to find that graph. There's a graph that circulated recently, how far away we've gone from Earth and like over time. And it's basically like, it's a bar graph, and it's basically Apollo missions, like really high up. And then after that, there's not much. Like, it's very low. Like, the Hubble maintenance missions were actually farther away from the Earth than we've usually gone. Like, all the space station visits and all of that is still low Earth orbit.
Yep, space station is low Earth orbit because the Russian spacecraft couldn't get high enough to have a higher orbit for the station. So they had to put it in low orbit. And yeah, and for the Hubble, the only manned spacecraft available that could go that high was the space shuttle. And so that was the farthest the space shuttle ever flew, was for Hubble maintenance, or farthest away from Earth it flew.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the asset. I'm going to try to find it, but it was on Twitter the other day. It's really interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to
21 hours.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when that graph swings back up and we're back at least to the moon.
Yeah, I mean, when we go to Mars, it's like it's going to blow like everything out of the water, distance wise. So.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
That'll be in our lifetime, the way things are going.
Could happen. Yeah, well, if you live long enough, it could happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll happen in our lifetime, but I think the first attempt, if it's commercial controlled, is going to be just an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean Elon Musk lots planning of life for this. Lost.
Yeah, surely Elon Musk is already thinking of sending people he's paying up to Mars.
He said yes, and he said some people are going to die.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, fill me full of confidence. Sign me up.
Yes. And he didn't talk about the one-way mission. He simply said because we haven't done it before and because it is so dangerous, some people are going to die.
Spoiler alert. Elon's on his way to Mars.
Oh. In his yacht?
Yeah,
his space yacht.
He's
actually got all his kit on board. He's going to do the next. So we're going to have to do it. You know, it'll be a 10-minute gap between him speaking and us replying. So it's going to be a long show.
A long show without much content.
Yeah, well, there'll be a lot of editing to do. So
that'll be Ewan's job.
Well, he'll have plenty of time to do it.
Right, and he can do it from the luxury of his yacht.
So if we put a swear word in, it'll take him 20 minutes before he tells us off.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, am I remembering correctly? Buzz Aldrin is now the only astronaut from Apollo 11 that's still alive.
That's what it said in that article there,
Didn't Neil Armstrong die a year or two ago?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Just check.
Well, I'm pretty sure Buzz Aldrin is eternal.
Yeah. Nothing can kill him, can it?
Yeah, August 2012 he died. So it has been a while.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you know, once we hit COVID time, everything became this blurry, wobbly mess for time.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Muller, what's your story?
I put the link in already if you look up a bit. Can you see it? I'll repost it, be easier.
Yes, that'll be easier for me. So I don't have to actually lift my finger and put it on it. But I bet you're glad that all you posted was a word and not a link to something that
I don't know what's going
no
on.
No one should
this.
Ever click. Which, by the way, is an important message. Do not click links that Muller puts in the chat room.
Oh, that's annoying. I'll tell you what, I can't get used to this damn touchpad Apple thing. Anyway, I'll try again, but I did put the link in earlier. So there you go, finally got it. It's a robotic knee. So apparently it's now available on Medicare in the US, and it's a lightweight robotic knee, and it uses compressed air, not liquid, and it only costs $7,000, which by the cost of these things is quite cheap, apparently. So if you're suffering with an injury, like a knee operation or a knee replacement, you can have one of these things to help you walk, and you'll be able to get around quite well. You'll be able to walk around. But what I'm thinking is that this is just the start, isn't it, really? It only weighs £8, by the way, £10, and it attaches to your torso, and it works on your leg, obviously, and you probably won't see much of it because it's so small, and it will help you walk. And I think this is a brilliant thing, and you can imagine once they get this through and start developing it, many of our servicemen might be walking again. And
my dad would love one of these.
Well, it lasts 12 hours on a charge.
That's more than my dad.
Well, brilliant.
Batch supports 12 hours on slopes. Can last 4 to 6 hours of constant use. So absolutely outstanding. So this is just the start, isn't it, really? I mean, I can see this being an absolute boom to people that are having problems walking. And possibly in the future for people who are wheelchair bound. So this is an absolutely outstanding thing, and it's be interesting to see where this goes.
Mm. I mean, I love the thing where they said, the first question we asked was the cheapest way humanly possible to get power into an object. Turns out that's air. I mean, I like that just in terms of looking at simple design and simple way of making something work. How can we make this cheap and simple? Air. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, also talking about how they're dealing with the weight as well, because you don't want to hang 10 stone, you don't want to hang another 10 pounds off your leg or whatever, you know. It's
well, that's
you've got to try and sort of manage that weight as well. And they've been very clear. That's brilliant.
If it's liquid, obviously that adds weight to it. And also, apparently, the liquid, liquids can leak. But this doesn't, it's only like it's basically a kind of big balloon, really, isn't it? That just basically. Helps you walk. I mean, this obviously won't help people who are paraplegic yet.
Mm.
But it's only a matter of time before they develop this, I think. I think this is outstanding bit of kit. Be interesting once it...
I think you're right. It's a progression. It's only a matter of time before they take this from something that lets you walk to something that can serve as, say, a full exoskeleton that's not like what we have today, which are industrial use exoskeletons, but something that's not obtrusive and overbearing that you can use to overcome paralysis or other physical injuries and have full mobility.
I want one, a full one. All the way up, help me arms, then I can go, get away from me, you bitch.
That's the industrial one. And I think those are pretty affordable at like $150,000, $200,000 a piece, but totally worth affordable. It if you need to fight off xenomorphs.
If I won the lottery, I would so get a couple of those. They would be great for barbecues and parties. Come on, let's do robot battles. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, hold on. Let me flip your hamburger.
Get two of you in a ring.
I'd take it to the supermarket. I'd live in that thing. God, that would be brilliant.
It would be pretty cool.
Then you do tea time with the robot.
I did see I haven't got the article up, but there was a kind of wheelchair that they brought out that actually makes people stand so they could work and they could walk around and they'd be at the same as height as you. And that's
does it existed really for? Good as well. Does it existed for a couple of years, at least? Yeah.
I bet they're expensive, though. Unfortunately,
they are. Yes,
I would assume so.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, it gets people. I mean. I don't do it because I work in the voluntary sector, so we deal with a lot of people that in wheelchairs and stuff. Unfortunately, the place where I work, you can't get people in wheelchairs up the stairs, so and we're not allowed to put a lift in due to it being a grade one listed building, and you're not allowed to do stuff like that to buildings. But it could be great if you had a wheelchair that could stand and you could walk them up the stairs.
So what's a grade one listing mean?
Grade one listing means it's in the case of the house that I work in, it was actually built before the America was actually a country. In fact, America was still, I think, Jamestown, a little settlement somewhere on the east coast of America. It was built in 1648. So only 50 years till you became a country, but, you know. And unfortunately, when it's grade one listed, you can't make alterations to it.
They have okay. So, like, yeah. Protect designated historic landmark would be,
mm-hmm. yeah, that sort
be the
thing,
same
yeah.
thing here.
There is another one in ours that's there's also grade one listed, but it wasn't listed until about the 1980s, and before that it actually became single quarters for policemen, and they put a lift in, the police did, and obviously that was done before it was grade one listed, so the museum hasn't taken it out. So actually that one is they left the so you can get people in wheelchairs up and down. In fact, actually, Benjamin Franklin actually used to visit there. And he came to Birmingham to recruit people to go to America to teach where to make machine tools. And then you brought machine tools back because they improved them so much that you brought them back to the UK. That's an interesting fact. So Birmingham, Alabama. It's named after Birmingham because mm-hmm. people from Birmingham went to Alabama.
Really? I never realised that. There was that proper link. It wasn't just people that... Well, I suppose, yeah.
That's usually how it happens. Like there are a lot of cities on like smaller towns in the US that are named after European cities. Mm-hmm. Like there's Stuttgart, there's Birmingham, there's London, I think, somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's.
I mean, New York, technically.
Yeah, that's
true. There's more than one.
Yeah, we have a place in the United States that you've probably heard of. It's named after York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard about it. It's Old York, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's Toronto. Toronto's Old York. Toronto was York before it was Toronto.
Is there a London? Mm-hmm.
I learned when I went there.
But there are multiple.
There's London, Ontario. There's London, Ontario, I think, as well.
Yeah.
But Birmingham, Alabama is actually because lots of people from Birmingham went there, encouraged by Benjamin Franklin. And then Benjamin Franklin spent a lot of time in Paris, didn't he? And I do know a lot about the history of that period because obviously about that time there was the Napoleonic Wars and France backed the US to kick the Brits out of America. Mm-hmm. And then the Americans did the dirty on the French by going, "We're not going to back you in our..." I think I know more about that. I don't think the Americans realised the French helped you in your freedom.
Oh, some of us know that.
Oh, the intelligent people. Ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people know that. Some people don't know what happened yesterday. So
that's true.
And then the Americans started attacking French ships and British ships as well. So
we were a feisty lot.
Mm. I also hear there was a party at some point, like a lot of tea and stuff.
Yeah, tea was strong, wasn't it? Yeah.
If it wasn't for that, actually, America would still be a British colony, probably.
Or German.
One of the other
Germans.
Yeah, I think Germans. with the way history has played out, German is probably what would have ended up happening.
I listened to a great podcast actually that I could find a link for it. I'll choose it as my cool thing, and it was talking about that period of time, and it was absolutely I learned an awful lot from it, because I just thought that, you know, Boston Tea Party and all that and about the tax, but it wasn't just that, it was really complicated and there was a lot of stuff going on. The Americans were scared, obviously. They didn't, British had a big navy and the French had a big navy, and they were playing the French and the English off. And then when it suited them, they went, "We're not playing anymore." It was quite interesting.
I don't think that much has changed.
Yeah, I don't think it's changed. You're right, Patrice. Yeah. We just happened to be a lot smaller back then. And... and had to be a lot more careful about when we chose to give everyone else the finger.
Definitely, because it was definitely a very difficult time. Obviously, because the French and the British were always at each other's throats, it weakened the response for both to take retribution, I suppose. Mm-hmm. 7 Years' War, and then the Napoleonic Wars and stuff like that. Tell history is my thing, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really if only they had realized earlier that they needed to change their battle tactics, because using Napoleonic tactics when you had firearms, that doesn't work. You're just lining everyone up to cut them down.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't stop them for a few years.
Yeah.
I found the link. I'll post it in the chat room, because if you want to listen to it, it's a cracking podcast. Particularly if you're American, you'll learn a lot from it.
I'll check it out. Yeah. All right. My story. We've gone long enough that I almost forgot I hadn't done a story yet. So what three words? We've talked about that before. It's been a cool thing pick, I think, multiple times.
Yep.
And it actually is very cool. But right now, they are, excuse me, they are being, I don't want to use the word investigated, but they're being scrutinized. How's that sound? Because the way their system is working, researchers have found that it's actually very easy to get the wrong location from the three words, because you'll have words that are almost identical or sound the same that are used for quadrants that are fairly close to each other. And they used London for a lot of the examples. And you could have a location where, or two locations that were a kilometer or a couple kilometers apart that had the exact same three words, except in one of them, one of the words is plural. And so now there's this concern about first responders using this and showing up at the wrong locations, which actually has happened more than once.
It's apparently also an issue with similar sounding words.
Yes. Yes.
Gosh, someone is going to have to come up with a system for describing a location on Earth. If this doesn't work, then.
I know.
There must be, I mean, it's why there must be something we can do about it. It's quite worrying.
Yeah. Well, and when three words, what they're saying is, yes, we're doing our best. And of course, people should scrutinize us because we want to be getting better all the time, which is either a very healthy approach to the problem, or a great way to spin someone finding a big flaw with the way their system works. But then they also point out, look, if you use any of the other grid systems, GPS coordinates, whatever, I mean, stuff can get lost in translation, and you can give people the wrong info with that too. So, mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Anybody who has had to, give your credit card number over phone or your phone number over phone or whatever, knows that.
Giving my phone number over the phone is painful.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how often people will mess it up. Yeah,
exactly.
It's still better than the postcode system. I mean, this was my cool thing for a couple of weeks ago, or my story even. I know we've used it before, but I definitely have used it. And there's been an update recently where you can actually scan. So if you get the what three things, you don't have to read the numbers. You can actually scan on the map the what three words, and it goes into the app and finds the place for you. But I've used it in a treasure hunt recently. It was really good. It got me to the actual location where the stuff I was looking for, definitely within the 3 meters it claims to do. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely better than a post. I mean, particularly in some places in the UK. I mean, in my road, obviously, my postcode, I think it's about 15 houses. But if you go to a place like Yorkshire, it could be 15 mile square piece of land.
Yeah.
So it's, yes, there are issues with it, but obviously there's going to be issues with it, but it'll get better. And I think it's a good idea.
There are better systems, like automatically transferring the GPS coordinates when you do a phone call. There are systems like that. Mm-hmm. Some countries have it. I think the US was working on it at some point.
Yeah, I don't know if all of the US has that, but at least parts of it do.
Yeah. So, obviously that's better because it's like a absolutely precise computer-generated like location. Or as long as the phone knows where it is precisely enough, it will be precise, which is better than anything you could tell someone over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had that system as well, but the trouble is it works great in cities. But obviously, if you're in, say, a city which got a lot of low-rise buildings, it's fine because your phone can get an accurate lock on its system, and it basically tells you which mast it's connected to. And in cities, obviously, the masts are very close, so you get a reasonable, you can get the triangulation from the distance, the angle, and all sorts of
It's like not
that.
Triangulation. The system is literally sending GPS coordinates that the phone has to the emergency services.
Well, the one we had was basically, it was the location of the mast, the angle from the phone from the mast, the distance, and it could triangulate it, which is fine in the city, bad in places in the middle of London, obviously because buildings are in the way. And if you're in the middle of Yorkshire, obviously they haven't got the phone.
It's maybe one mast. like the triangulation, that's kind of it's better than nothing, but it's, as you said, not very good. But said there are systems in some countries in place that literally transfer in your iPhone, like when you call emergency services in some states in the US, it will transfer your GPS coordinates.
Sure,
so they know exactly where you are. I said that is probably the best. I said as long as the phone knows exactly where it is.
Allows it.
And as I said, it is built into your phone. So if you do an emergency phone call, it is allowed. Yeah, but as I said, that's an exception. But I think What Three Words is probably still not a bad idea.
What Three Words, even with this this scrutiny they're under right now, which I mean, good. They should be. Because first responders are relying on this in some cases.
Mm-hmm. So it should be checked.
I saw a thing on Twitter yesterday, I think it was, where someone said that they had been out in the middle of essentially nowhere to do nature photography and had a heart attack. And so they called 911 and gave them their What Three Words location. And within 20 minutes, they were being airlifted out on a helicopter and taken to a hospital. And they lived. And so in that situation, What Three Words potentially saved their life because they could get the emergency services, not to the general area where they had to spend time hunting, but within easy visual location.
I've even got an iPhone widget now. You can't see it, luckily. But I'm a button purely.
We'll enhance that later so everyone knows where your bedroom is.
They can find out.
Within 3x3 meters.
It'll move, though, in a bit because I'm inside. So obviously the GPS isn't totally accurate.
I mean, if you look at it, it's usually good enough.
That's better than a postcode.
for sure.
The only trouble is that what I found is that I was looking for something and I put the What Three Words in, but I misread one of the words and I put it in. I was going like, because obviously you miss the plural or the spelling, make an error in your spelling and it'll take you the wrong way. So that's another problem. But other than that, it's got to be a better idea than postcodes.
The whole notion that you would use postcodes, or here in the States, we call them zip codes, to go where you're headed, to me sounds absolutely crazy. I mean, that would be like saying, come visit me in the middle of Boulder or on the east side of Boulder or something like that. And that's all that I've given you.
You can put your house number though and your postcode there, and that will get you there.
Yeah.
But that's, yet again, it's still not brilliant.
For some reason, what you just were talking about reminded me of something my grandpa used to say. He always said, who am I? And if so, how many? No details, just the continent.
I like that. All right. Hey, this show and all the others are sponsored by TSO Hosts. And thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here for us. They're providing our bandwidth. They're providing our storage space, server space that we need to bring shows to you and to make sure that you can go and listen or watch your favorite episodes at your leisure. So that is absolutely awesome. Without their support, we literally would not be here on the air, if you will, for you every single week. If you need to get a domain name or you need some hosting, hit them up. They will give you a deal because you are a British Tech Network fan. And what they would love from us for now is to give them a shout out. Give them some love on your favorite social media network. So head over to whatever your favorite network is and tell them that you appreciate that they're here supporting BTN. And that will make them happy, and that'll make us happy. And since we'll still be here for you, ultimately that will make you happy as well. So it's just a win all the way around. We're also sponsored by Iman Max, and that's the company. Oh, you have one of their chargers.
Yeah, Patrice. I got one of their chargers.
Oh,
I just got my MacBook Mac, and they were so nice, they included this, and I'm super happy about it.
I really want an Iman Max Qi charger or mug, or I want some Iman Max gear here in my place. It would be incredibly exclusive because I am in the United States. So yeah. I would probably be like the only person with their Hell gear yes. here. Yeah.
I think what you should do is pay for Callum to come to your house with the batteries or whatever and actually fit them live in your own house.
That would yes.
could do that, and I could show Callum around and take him to all the cool places that I hang out here.
Have some I bison could take burgers. Him
on the wildlife tour, and maybe we'd get to see some bears or a mountain lion. Well, probably bears. Go check out the buskers on Pearl Street Mall. Take him to the good places for tea. Because there actually are good places here for tea.
I think he prefers beer.
Take him out for some quality beer. We have amazing local breweries and amazing local distilleries. And this is like the best sponsor spot for Iman Max ever, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
anyhow, Iman Max.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They are. If you have Apple gear that you need to get fixed, they can do it. And instead of just like throwing out your logic board and putting a new one in and calling it a day, Callum will actually go in with his soldering iron and take the bad components out and put good ones in for you, which is awesome. That's better for the environment. And he's so badass that he can actually do that. So that's awesome. And
not a soldering iron.
I have two iPads that need to have their batteries replaced. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be very cool if I could swing it to come out for the bash and bring the iPads with me. And then we could do a live stream of Callum replacing my iPad mini and my smaller iPad Pro batteries.
Do it early in the day, though.
Oh yeah, before drinking. Yeah, you should. Absolutely before drinking.
Oh yes, you should.
Yes.
Having been out with a night while they
Yeah, and also keep it away from all the liquids.
Right. Yes. Once the batteries are swapped out, they will go into my laptop bag, into the sealed compartment that should be beer, wine, and spirit safe.
Yeah, you could chuck the old batches on the barbecue.
No. No, I can absolutely second that. I mean, as you know, like the MacBook I just got back, the local repair shop, I don't think they ever looked at it. They just quoted €750 to replace the logic board. That wasn't even broken because it was the battery. And Callum figured it out. Like, it took a little while, but he figured out that it was actually the battery that was bad and replaced it for a fraction of the cost. The logic board was totally fine.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah. So I would have spent €750 for a logic board that wasn't even broken, and it wouldn't even have fixed the issue.
Oh, see, that's just awful.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. They also sell gear. So if you're looking for used Apple equipment that's that comes with a warranty, hit them up and mention BTN and they'll give you a discount also. So or thank you, gear. TSO Host. Thank you, Iman Max, for having our backs. And absolutely awesome. Okay, so on to the cool thing. Rich, what do you have for us?
You surprised me then. Right.
Oh, surprise.
Surprise. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready, Jeff. I'm ready now. Okay. Amazon have put out a new tablet and I kind of want to try one. I nearly said I'm going to try one then. That sounded very determined. A new Fire HD 10 tablet, which is apparently better than the last one that came out. I've had a feeling it was coming because it's been about 2 years since the last one. I see them as kind of lower end consumption devices. I don't think they're an outright iPad replacement yet in terms of workability and that kind of thing. I certainly couldn't like live on one as a computer, but for Netflix and maybe a bit of email and a bit of YouTube and a bit of web browsing and that kind of thing, it might be a nice little replacement for my aging iPad Air 2. Which, while it still runs iOS 14, is still very slow now and kind of needs replacing. So that's it, really.
I bought one of the really old ones, older versions of the Fire HD 8 or something like that, that I have I paid £20 for it, secondhand shop. And it's a superb little color book reader / quick browsing device to have kicking around in my bag when I travel, that I don't care if it gets bashed up or lost or stolen or broken. And brilliant little thing. It just keeps on plodding. It's been, God knows how many times it's been dropped. It's been a rucksack, been wet. And it just keeps on going. It's a great little thing. They are superb little tools.
I think you've kind of convinced me that I'm probably going to try one of these then.
My eight's been very good for what it is. For next to now, for what it does, I've been very happy with it. I don't do a lot of anything vaguely productivity. It is a consumption device, so it's mostly books, to be honest. But it works very, very well for that purpose.
They look pretty good.
The two Yorkshiremen. I think we've got the two Yorkshiremen sketch coming up. I want one of those. It is easier.
And they have
wireless charging. Well, if it's two Yorkshiremen, you'd have the other way, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. We had gravel when I was a lad.
Yeah. etc.
Look up the three Yorkshiremen sketch for the two non-English people. Monty Python, but it was before that as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the three Yorkshiremen sketch.
Yeah,
I am a avid Monty Python fan,
so you'll know that well.
The Yorkshiremen sketch is brilliant.
It is.
The other Yorkshiremen sketch is the what would they call those two comedians? I can't remember. Yorkshire Airways, remember that one? That's a little look up. Oh, open away. what was it? I can't remember the name. I'll find the link later, but they're basically where you leave Yorkshire Airport and you fly around, you land in Yorkshire because there's nowhere better to go than Yorkshire. So there's no need to go anywhere else.
Google says hail and pace.
Hail and pace.
Yeah, she could well be that.
Hail and pace, the Yorkshire Airways. You've got to watch that. It's funny.
But speaking of Monty Python, my eldest is doing philosophy at school, and he comes home talking about any philosopher. And the only thing I've got going through the back of my head is a philosopher's song.
As well you should.
The philosopher's song reappears in my head every time. He talks about Kant or something like that. Then was a real bit, and it was very, really, you know, it just goes off in your head. You can't help, you know, it just goes off in your head. It's
as
fantastic.
Well it should. All right, Patrice, what's your cool thing?
So my cool thing is something from Jeff's twin brother, Adam Savage. I was watching. Jeff kind of looks like him, and he's smart like him, so that kind of works. I was watching Adam on YouTube. Like, he has a really good YouTube channel where he answers questions and talks about stuff and builds stuff and so on. And he was talking about a show called Savage Built, and how he made that. And I had not heard about it. I was kind of surprised. And I was like, okay, what is that? So I went out and got it. And it is a really fun show. It's kind of, yeah, it's Adam building crazy things. Like one episode is, I mean, and it's like completely insane what they're building. There's one episode where where he actually had Tori Belleci on, and they were basically building machines to throw food 100 feet at each other. That was it. Like, but and it sounds insane, and it was, but it was a lot of fun. He had other stuff where there was World War One or World War Two? I don't remember. I think it was World War Two. A basically kind of a weapon that the British invented that never really worked.
The rocket wheel thing.
Exactly. He built that, and he had the mission. I think the chief engineer from NASA for the current Mars mission on, and they built that thing. They improve. I mean, first he tried to replicate it, with some success, and then they tried to improve it, built a modern version of it, and that was like, and it's, as I said, it's completely insane. It's always him with some other people. Sometimes they're competing. Sometimes they're working together. And they're building insane stuff. That's all theirs. Like, they had one where they did like a post-apocalyptic car destruction thing with some lovely like builders, not some ladies. And they just competed against each other. Like, who could build the meanest looking car with weapons and destroy the other? Like, it's just a lot of fun. It's on Discovery Plus in the US. I've only, like, according to Just Watch, you can only buy it in the UK.
Yeah,
from like Amazon or Apple TV or iTunes.
But it's on Discovery Plus in the UK. Discovery is a pay channel. It's not called Discovery though. It's got another name and I can't remember it, but everyone will know it. Discovery's got a set of an app with several channels, Discovery being one of them.
Yeah, so maybe it's on there.
Right now.
Savage Builds, it's crazy. It's exactly what you want. It's a lot of fun. He built a real-life Iron Man suit.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Watching him learn how to control the rockets or the jets. Yeah. And
And you can tell he was super excited to build this. Like, it wasn't just a thing that he did for a show because he had to make some money. No, this was kind of, he was doing what he loves to do, and cameras were just following him around. That was kind of
and just by chance, he was getting paid for it as well.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's like perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they you could tell they were saving money left and right. Like, it wasn't a highly paid show. There were some instances where you could tell, okay, they didn't have much money. They were kind of being very, very scrappy. But that's where he's at his best anyway.
So it's a similar shit. Belushi, whatever his name is, from that. Belushi, he was in an Amazon Belushi. Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in an Amazon Prime show.
Yeah, there was...
The White Rabbit Project?
No, it was and the guy from...
Mythbusters?
No. It's the survival. What's it called?
That's survivors. The survival. Smell like that. The guy from the little. Yeah. The little guy. The Brummy from Top Gear.
From.
Chris Harris.
I picked it. No, not Chris Harris. The old guy. Like the old.
The young.
I'm trying to find it because I know I picked it recently.
Hamster.
Hamster. Of course, he is a Brummy, isn't he? Yeah. Richard Avenue. Yeah.
Well, he's from Solihull.
Yeah.
It's not really Solihull. Birmingham, but just outside Birmingham. Not
this
far
is not from Dudley. This is not from Dudley.
No, he's about 3 miles from where I live, but I live in Birmingham, but he lived in Terry Hall.
That's a posh bit.
Yeah.
If you can call it posh.
Yeah. That's posher than where I live.
There have been other shows. Like, I mean, technically, Mythbusters was kind of like that in a sense. But as I said, like it was more for him to build stuff out of basically nothing, out of scrap, and have fun than anything else. And as I said, it you can tell like he's just having so much fun. I mean, there were some really insane things, like the rocket, like the weapon they built, where they had this like massive wheel at the end. That was kind of scary.
it was really scary.
Yeah.
It was called the Great Escape.
They blew up stuff. Like they used nitroglycerin and blew up a lot of things. Like, but it was all like it wasn't to blow up things. Like it was all because they wanted to learn something, do something, and like have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great show.
I agree.
It was absolutely called The Great Escapists.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very similar.
Wasn't a good show, but
I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. Yeah. I know Ewan didn't like it, but I thought it was all right.
I was expecting more and hoping it would be more, and I think it just didn't work. I think it was supposed to be Bilecci and Grant Imahara originally, and then Grant died. So you could tell that it wasn't the same.
Just a comedy show at the end of the day.
Yeah, kind of. That was, I think, it.
Yeah. All right, Ian, what do you have?
I have a random thing. I like old cars, and I have a couple old cars, and I want a way of making my phone, Spotify, come over the radio in a car which has got a cassette still in it. And I picked I didn't know this thing existed. I went looking for the other ones to wonder if I could Heath Robinson together, one of those ones with the aux and then a Bluetooth thing to make something up. But you can buy it with it all in. So this is a cassette module that reads, that connects to the head unit on the tape and will then play back Bluetooth from any Bluetooth source. It's not bad. It's not brilliant, but it's better than an FM transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
As a handy little thing, it was very, very good. I mean, I mind you, like I say, I drive I've got two cars. The newest one is, the newest one's 20 year old, and the other one's 22 year old. So, you know,
typical Yorkshire.
I'm happy.
The cars are older than Callum.
Yeah, I drive two old Saabs. I'm happy with it. I'm very happy with what I'm around in it. I've done modern cars and everything else. I'm enjoying sort of old mechanical cars. And that's just a great way of me not having to pull the dash about and put a modern radio in, although I may end up doing that in the end. But for now, anyway, at least.
T4 is still doing okay, isn't it? Still got that on the road, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And £15.50.
Yeah, it's the bargain. It doesn't cost very much to try it. If you've got an old car and you don't want to, can't pull the radio out or can't afford to, it works. It's not brilliant, but it works.
Very cool. All right, Muller, tell us about your cool thing.
Well, I've put the link in, as you probably saw. It's an RGB mouse mat. My other mouse mat was looking a bit dog-eared. And I thought, I need a mouse mat. And then I saw this one and I thought, didn't really need all the colours. But it's I'm actually using it now and it's pretty cool. £17. I mean, most mouse mats cost a lot more these days. And this one does nice shiny colours. And it's got about, I think, 16 or 17 programs. I can have solid colours or it can go around and really distract you while you're playing your game. But yeah, it's really cool.
So you've turned your computer desk into a nightclub.
Yeah, I'm dancing now. Remember, I got my dance thing, haven't I? So nice. Yeah.
All right. And my thing, we're actually going to do a quick unboxing because I have this. So Wyze, they're known for making low-cost cameras, like security cameras, webcams. And they've branched out into several other products. They make a robot vacuum now, and they have smart lights and smart switches. And recently, they started selling smartwatches. So this is a $20 smartwatch. And we're going to see what this looks like. All right, let's see if I can get the... Seriously? They taped the box.
You didn't plan this very well, did you?
Hey, well, no.
Yeah, they're out of stock. You can't buy one.
It's because they did pre-order.
That's what meals are for.
Yeah, they did pre-order. And so the pre-orders just shipped. All right, so let's see if we can get it to open now.
It's good. Ooh,
maybe. Come on. There it goes. And we have a little watch. It has a sticker on it. It says, charge to activate. And... All right. Well, the watch looks about the same size as my.
That looks like an Apple Watch copy.
It totally looks it like does. An Apple Watch copy. I mean, even down to the box.
So, yeah, I mean, the box
like is basically like the same size.
Yeah. The same form. Like
back of it, it has little sensors on it. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming those are charging connectors. There must be more in this box. A quick start guide. Yeah, there you go. You know, because this is going to be convenient to turn
your lights on, go through. And
oh, okay. So just sitting loose underneath the little tray was this. So it so there's the connector for the charger, and you provide your own charger for the cable. But it's only $20.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
I got loads of those.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'll charge it up and I'll wear it around along with my Apple Watch, and we'll see how well it how well it works for $20.
The iMind Max G charger has USB port.
See, so if I actually had an iMind Max G charger, I'd be able to charge my watch.
Well, you still, for the iMind Max G charger, you still need a charging port break somewhere. Doesn't come with it.
Well, okay, but it would look cool.
It absolutely would look really cool.
Have you seen the price of the straps? It almost costs the same as the watch.
Oh, you can change out the strap?
Yeah. You got another one.
Look, there's little pins here.
There's a leather strap for $13.
Strap out.
Watch is $20. The strap is $13.
Yeah, there's different colors. You can have forest green, blue silicon, pink silicon.
All right.
Probably using silicon. Old. Probably using old like TI 83 plus CPUs for the watch. Something cheap.
Could be.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, if the strap is £13 or $13, then how much is left for the watch?
You can turn on all your lights and stuff, all your Wyze stuff. That's pretty cool for the price.
Yeah, I mean, Wyze, they make some interesting products, and they sell them for a low price. I mean, they started with just their basic camera, just a little box, and then added in the camera that can rotate, and then they added in some sensors, and then smart switches and smart lights, and a robot vacuum, and you know, now they have the watches, and And I think a couple other things too.
When you said interesting, did you mean interesting good or interesting shit?
Both. I mean, some of their stuff is interesting good, and some of their stuff is you know, like I bought one of their kits that has these motion sensors in it, and the battery was low, so I replaced it. Fine. Then the battery was low again later on, and I replaced it, and it's dead. And that's it. It just, and it's a known thing. They just stop, and that's it. And they've already quit making them, so you know, they won't even be able to replace this for me. So it's just this little thing that now sits on my desk, and I don't know why it just sits on my desk. It's dead. So yeah.
It's so that you can show it on the show.
So that I can show it on the show. That's it exactly. Yeah. Yes. All right. So now we all know what this Wise watch looks like, and I'll be able to report back and tell everyone how it works. And
does Greeny make it? Greeny can buy a load of them.
He'll buy it.
Well, the band hasn't fallen off yet, and the display is still intact. So I'm going to go with no. It's not a Greeny product.
Does it come in size 9?
Probably. Yes, but only half of it. It's weird. Yeah. All right. We have somehow managed to get to the end of the show again. Thanks to...
Long show.
Yeah, somehow it turned into a long show. I think it was our 15-minute intro.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Thanks to all of you for being such an awesome panel. Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Barking or earlymorningbarking.com on YouTube.
Awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Every week here on The Big Show and also Fridays on The Mac Show. Everything I do, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee and stuff, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com if you want to listen to people talk about their food-related stories and food-related memories.
Awesome. All right, Ian, where are you?
Me? I'm here every week on The Big Show on a Thursday night, having a laugh with you lot. Otherwise, you find me in the Slack room at TIOBOA, turning up and back on again, and you'll find me occasionally on Twitter, not very often these days. I'm also on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. You'll find me there, Convault Trainer. That's where you'll find me.
Awesome. And Muller, where can people find you?
Well, a biker on Twitter or in the Slack room, and dancing on Crikey Trousers is a grave to get my next badge.
Awesome. Okay. And I'm Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram. Also buy me a coffee, a Patreon now, because I'm making videos. So you can find me on YouTube. I just started. So I have a video where I talk about Apple Spring Loaded Media Event and a couple how-tos. So you can learn how to color balance your Apple TV and how to unlock your iPhone while you're wearing a face mask. And I have some more that I need to edit together and make live. So, yep. So I'm on YouTube now too. And thanks to everyone that's watching live, and thanks to everyone that watches the recordings or listens to the recordings later on. All of you rock, and it's great to get to hang out with all of you, and to interact in the chat room. So absolutely awesome. Everyone of you, I want to give all of you hugs. So thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show. I will be hosting that because Ewan will still be out on his yacht. But I'm looking forward to hanging out with everyone again tomorrow morning. So thanks everyone. And we'll see you tomorrow. All right. We did it.
Hey, excellent.
Yay! Yeah. We did. Cool. This was a random show.
This was a very random show. I'm at a loss trying to come up with a title for the show.
I have one. The legal ramifications of British caterpillar cake.
You know what? We're gonna go with it. I like it.
Colin's revenge.
I like that too.
Colin's revenge.
Going to Mars.
Colin's Revenge. I was gonna mention Jim will paint it as a cool thing, but I'll do it next week.
Jim will paint it.
Yes. Look on Twitter, Jim will paint it, or on Facebook. You tell him whatever you want, he will paint you a picture. All he does is he paints it in MS Paint. Genuinely uses MS Paint and a mouse to create these. The caterpillar one you saw was one of his, and he creates the maddest things, and it's brilliant. I for my birthday, I've asked for he's published a couple of books, so I did ask one for him on my birthday. I don't know if it's going to come or not, but that it's just madness. And there was a nice thing that happened recently. There was someone asked for a T-shirt of Brian Blessed riding a Henry Hoover. In the Flash Gordon outfit or whatever it was in. And it was...
Oh, my God. I can visualize that, and I shouldn't.
Yeah. And that was worn by a chap on the front of Exeter University's prospectus. Jim saw it and said, whoever that was, let me know who you are and I'll do something. I'll make you something. And eventually they found him. And what they did was they created a T-shirt of the chap from the prospectus riding a Henry Hoover, and they sent the T-shirt to Brian Blessed, who quite cheerfully wore the T-shirt and took pictures and put it up on Facebook and Twitter and things for him. So they had a nice sort of circular thing. I mean, Brian's a really, really good sport, a lovely bloke, and a Yorkshireman.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is Jim's website called Jim Will Fix It?
Happily, yeah, no.
Jeff, you'll have to look that up.
I have to get off now, everybody. I will see you next week.
I need some food.
I must have been hungry. A quick question for anybody. Do we have any discount codes for SetApp?
I don't think so.
No, just wondered if we had any ways to get any discount codes, but never mind. I'll pay me money because it's worth it.
Totally worth it.
I've been a subscriber for about 3 years.
Yeah, I fell out. I fell out just because it got all the freebies it used to get for the iPad disappeared, the iOS ones, and so I got a little bit grumpy with them, and I cancelled my membership. But I might renew, particularly now I'm using a Mac again.
Right, but I'll see you all next week, everyone.
See you next week.
All right, see you next week.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
I don't know if we had any.
I should stop the live stream. Bye, people who are still watching.
Mm-hmm.